Hi everyone, John here from the Worst Comic Podcast Ever. Earlier this month at O Comic Con, I was able to host the panel for actress Lauren Tom. Lauren Tom is an Obie Award-winning actress known for her roles as a dutiful daughter in the film The Joy Luck Club and as Mrs. Tran on Supernatural. Lauren's voice work can be heard in many animated series, including Futurama, King of the Hill, Teen Titans Go, American Dragon, and many others. On television, Lauren was a regular on the ABC series Men in Trees, NBC's DAG, and ABC's Grace Under Fire. At one point during the panel, you will hear Lauren give the audience a big thanks. She passed a hat around to gather money in support of the 5K she will soon be running in honor of Homeboy Industries, an organization that provides hope, training, and support to formerly incarcerated men and women, allowing them to redirect their lives and become contributing members of their community. We start our audio of the conversation with some questions about Lauren's time as Julie, the love interest of Ross, during season two of the show Friends. Enjoy. When you were on Friends, so sure. Friends, you came on Friends, and obviously, I don't know, from the outside, it seems like they're actually friends.
They are.
Like the cast, like they seem pretty tight. Was that almost difficult to come in and be this extra person? Because obviously on the show,
yes,
there's that awkwardness.
Yeah, people always ask me for some gossip and dirt on that show, and it was really hard for me because I wanted to have a funny story, but you know, they really were best friends. And I think because I was in the second season, so it took off like a rocket,
right,
in the second season, like summer leading up to that, and it was almost felt like a crisis to them, I think, because success, huge success, can feel like a crisis too, like a lottery winner or something. So they all glommed onto each other, and they really bonded a lot, and so they were very welcoming to me. I still remember, well, I hope Matt Blanc isn't going to be offended by this if he ever sees this somewhere. But he like was so adorable and so kind of close to his character in a way. I'm sure he's much brighter than his character, but we just could not connect, you know. So he asked me like where I was from. And I said, oh, well, I'm kind of like a, you know, where I grew up in Chicago, it's a suburb called Highland Park, and it's 97% Jewish. And so we used to always have a joke that, you know, like that people were, that I was a Jap, meaning Jewish American princess, right?
Right.
So I said, well, I'm from Highland Park, so I'm kind of a Jap. And he goes, wait, what? Wait, you're Japanese? And I go, no, I'm a, you know, it's a Jewish American princess. And he goes, wait, so you're a princess? And I was like,
that's the part of Jewish American princess. That's the part that he thought was real.
And I was like,
okay.
No, I'm not a princess. It's like a phrase. It's like a joke, you know. He goes, where are you a princess? And it just went downhill from there. And And then the only other, the one really difficult part of being on that show was that I knew ahead of time that I was contracted for 7 episodes. And my role was to be the other woman to keep Rachel and Ross apart for longer so that they didn't get together right away. And so the joke obviously was that I'm, you know, that she kept calling me a bitch, but I was the nicest person on the planet, you know. And but at the end of that arc, when it turns out that he breaks up with me, I actually felt like I was being broken up with and that I was being kicked out of this really fun family. It was so hard for me because I was actually booed by the live audience when, you know, we would kiss or whatever, because they really wanted Rachel and Ross. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, you guys, thank you so much. Wow, look at that. And you can see it. You'll see it online when I post it. So anyway, thank you. That was really hard on me. And then at the end of that arc, the National Enquirer had a picture on the front page that said, Friends actress fired. That was me.
Right.
And I was like, what? No, I wasn't fired. I was contracted. And then the whole, you know, article was about how Jennifer Aniston thought I was really a diva and a bitch. And I'm like, no, that's in the storyline. Like, her character is supposed to be jealous of me. So she, you know. And so then it was really upsetting. And so I called a lawyer and said, can I do anything about that? And, you know, he looked into it, and you know, he apparently said no, they're standing by their story, and it would cost too much money and be too, you're not going to win. And so I was like, wow, okay. And then other people were just like, you know, any publicity is good publicity. You got your picture in there, you know. So, but that was, yeah, that was. So now I realize that I used to always think that there was a kernel of truth in all of those stories in those rag papers. But now I realize that there cannot be even nothing, and they just make it up. So good to keep in mind.
That's what I teach physics, and that's what I do if a kid asks a question and I don't know the answer. I just make it up. And they don't know any better, so you can pretty much tell them anything. And you seem like an authority, so.
That seems unfair.
Yeah, it is. It's unfair. That's life. What other questions you guys have about, yes, and sorry, while you answer that, I'm going to go close the door because we're getting some music coming
thanks.
In. So, thank you very much.
Thank
I appreciate
you,
it.
You.
I appreciate it. Sorry, we're just getting a lot of sound kind of rolling in.
Yeah.
Please, Rachel.
So you had a couple of episodes on Pretty Little Liars where your dad wanted to get Alison off.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, with Pretty Little Liars? Oh, gosh, you know what? I haven't been tracking it. I haven't been following it. But, boy, does that have a huge following, too. And I felt so bad that I wasn't able to win the case for her because I was like, oh, great, I have to be a sucky lawyer. Oh, God. But it was really fun. I was so impressed with Sasha as a person because she's just so young and so together and very giving. And I worked mostly with her. And yeah, I know that people are so into that, but also like Supernatural, I really haven't seen that many episodes because I feel like TV is just so hard for me to catch up with unless I were to binge watch or something. I can't even watch Supernatural. It's too scary for me. But I didn't, but I am always really interested to know what the storylines are, and having this inside info, it's hard for me sometimes to not let the cat out of the bag. So,
did anybody else think it was like I felt like it was about time they changed the name of that, because with ABC Family, and I felt like, is this really a family show? And there were several in there that I'm like, I don't think this is a family show. And they finally changed the name of the network or whatever, so it's not ABC Family.
Yeah, what is it
anymore.
Again now? I forgot. Freeform.
Right. Yeah. Which could mean anything, right. Means nothing, whatever, but that's fine. But ABC, no, that was wrong.
I actually might, well, fingers crossed, I might be in a series on that network, which is, I shot a pilot for Disney. And so we're just keeping our fingers crossed that they're going to pick it up. I play a really tough mom. Surprise. It seems like what I get hired to do now ever since Supernatural. Supernatural, I worked on a series called Men in Trees years ago. Did you remember? And the writer, Jenny Bick, she was the creator, was married to, oh my gosh, what's his name? The guy who created Supernatural? Jeremy Carvin. She's married to Jeremy, and Jeremy remembered me in that series. And so he kind of wrote that character with me in mind. No, actually, they had a different actress playing that part at first. And then he thought of me and kind of reshifted the character to flesh it out a lot more. And then they called me and said, would you like to do this? And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. So that's been a real blessing, that show. Because the fandom is just insane. The fandom and for Futurama 2 is very strong. You guys brought us back the second time. And that bio is a little bit old because I just wanted to make sure people didn't think we were really coming back again.
Again. Yeah.
But you know, I'm hopeful. Like, it hasn't happened yet, but maybe it still can. We're waiting for another network to step up.
There's a lot of great shows that fans try to bring back, and the fact that they were able to bring back Futurama says a lot about how dedicated people were to that show.
Yes.
Yep.
I'd love seeing everybody.
Yeah, yes, right here in the front.
I tell the story that in my first episode, if you guys don't know that show, it stars two really ugly guys. I'm just teasing.
Brutal.
Crazy handsome. So I'm happily married, just to preface. And But Jensen Ackles is one of these people that is so beautiful that I found myself, I kept staring at him, and I was like, oh, stop doing that. And then my head would just go, oh, I'm doing it again. Okay, stop. And so there's this one scene in the first episode where he's chasing me, and he has a knife, and he's trying to get me because my character, Crowley, enters my body, so I'm running away, so he's trying to get me. And there's this post, and I had to, like, lean up against this post, and he's got me, and he's about trying to slip my wrist. So he's here, and I'm here just, like, looking up at him, and I'm like, just take your time. We can just do this scene as long as it takes. You need to just, you know, oh, my God, crazy. Anyway.
I can just see you accidentally saying, so, and then they, oh, Lauren, we have to shoot this again.
Right.
I can't believe you keep saying like so
yeah,
every time we do this.
Wreck the tape just so we had to do it again. No, so that's one of my favorite memories. And then also I got to punch Crowley. That was awesome. That was, you know, Mark Shepard is a great actor. He's a British guy. And they actually had to teach me how to throw a really strong right. And we did it so many times, and I was doing it with so much gusto that I threw my shoulder out. And they were really sweet. They had a masseur come in and work on it because I couldn't even move it then. I wanted to do all my own stunts. And I did have one stunt lady do a couple things for me, but I tried to do all of my own because it was fun. It makes it more believable.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. That's why it took forever. Because, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen John DiMaggio and Maurice LaMarche and Billy West, but they're so funny. And they would just improv things, and like David X. Cohn would be, okay, guys, we have to kind of keep this moving here. And but they're all, they've all done stand-up comedy a little bit, so it was really just so much fun being in the room with them and just going to work to laugh. But mostly we pretty much stuck to the script because we had the smartest writers. They honestly, so many of them were Harvard graduates, and they were these brainiacs, and we had like a math club that they would meet every week and just solve problems. I was like, wow, that really wouldn't be fun for me. But yeah, so one of the stories that I love to tell about John that he was telling at one of the cons was that a lot of people have Futurama tattoos. And there was, he was at 1 a.m, he was getting a tattoo in a parlor, and there was, he just happened to ask the guy working on him, hey, has anyone here ever, you know, asked or gotten a Futurama tattoo? He goes, oh yeah, there's a guy right there who's getting a Bender tattoo, right there. He went, no way, hang on a second. So he goes over there, and he goes, hey dude, I'm the voice of Bender. He goes, yeah, right. He goes, no, I really am. And then he did the voice, and he goes, oh, would you sign my neck? And so he signed his neck, and the guy tattooed the signature under the picture of Bender. I'm like, that is dedication. Wow. I saw one fan here who had a big Leela on his shin. That was cool. Anyway,
yeah, Leela on the shin. Autograph on the neck. I, those are a little different. There's a little range between those two tattoos.
Does anybody here have a Futurama tattoo? No, Kevin's not here. Okay.
Oh, no. Okay.
Okay.
So, all right. We have time for just maybe one or two more questions.
Oh, really? Wow. That went fast.
I know. Yeah, I know. Yep.
Yes. Herma, right? Oh, that's the most fun, and people would always clap for me at the end of that, because at the table read, you know, you have to just do it as it's written. So it would be like this, you know, well, what do you think, Mom? I don't know, you know, and then it would be like this and this and this. It was really fun, though, and it wasn't that hard for me to switch back and forth, because my grandma's voice was so in me, and I also wrote a one-person show based on my grandmother's journey from China to the United States. So I was really used to doing that, because it was me talking to my grandma. Right. But that was one of the really fun parts. And you know who had to do that a lot is Billy West, because he plays four characters. So a lot of times he would just be doing the whole script, and we're like, what are we doing here?
Lauren, do you want to tell us what you have coming up?
Oh, yeah. I just want to mention, so hopefully if the Disney pilot gets picked up, I can tell you more about that later. But then the other thing that's announced already just recently is I'm going to be in Troll Hunters, which is Guillermo del Toro's TV series for Netflix based on the movie. So I'm really excited about that because it has an amazing cast and it looks beautiful. I've seen two episodes, but it starred Anton Yelchin. So was just freaking heartbreaking for everybody involved because he was an amazing person and an amazing actor. So we had 52 episodes and he did 41 of them. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen there. But keep an eye out for that. That's coming out in December of this year. And it's just so much fun and so beautiful. I think you guys are going to like it.
I think we've just gotten used to, I think, Netflix, their produced work is so good.
Oh, my God.
And there's so many amazing Netflix. I mean, I think when we first started hearing Netflix is going to make a show, and you're like whatever.
Yeah.
And then it was show after show. It's like, wow, this is amazing stuff that they're producing.
It is, and DreamWorks is, you know, making it, so it's got just an amazing team behind it.
Yep. Well, coming up here at the bottom half of the hour, Lauren will be available for photo ops in the photo op room, which is just a couple doors down here out and hang a left. And so she'll be there, and then after that, she'll be back at her table and signing
some autographs. Yeah, I'm going to just sign until 1 o'clock, and then I got to go catch my flight. But it would be so great. Come say hi again if you want, and thank you so much for coming on a Sunday morning. This is actually like a respectable crowd.
I know,
now.
It filled out. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Thank you guys
so much. Let's give a big round of applause for Lauren Tom, everybody. Big thanks to Lauren Tom and the folks at O Comic Con for allowing us to record this audio. We look forward to being back there in 2017. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the worst comic podcast ever.